Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a wild top in the charts.
Thank you for downloading the podcast, Theanos. Now here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
In the background, feeling like I'm never gonna get what I deserve, cause I'm chilling in the background.
Welcome back to the podcast, Theanos. It is a special evening and a special episode. I am Jordan Hall, joined by Eric Wayne. We're always here. You guys know that. But we have a very special guest this evening, Emily Walden. Emily, thanks for taking some time to talk to us today.
It is my pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
I'm sure most of the listeners are aware that you are a Tigers minor league aficionado, and you always have pictures from fun places. You're here to enlighten us what's going on down on the proverbial farm.
That is correct. It's probably one of the biggest things that I've enjoyed this year, especially, is that the Tigers have legitimate prospects for the first time in a long time. Anywhere from Michael Fulmer, who's obviously not leaving Detroit anytime soon if he keeps up doing what he's doing, but guys like Jacoby Jones, Joe Jimenez, just some really exciting prospects overall. So it's made this season a lot of fun.
Yeah, I bet. Eric, how are you?
I get to participate in the podcast too. I'm great. I'm wonderful. If I was any better, I'd be two people. I'm just that good.
So I don't know if you guys were watching the game this afternoon, but there was a lull, I don't know, middle innings, and Rod and Mario got talking about walk-up music. I can't remember exactly what brought it up, but Mario said that he would pick a song by Rush. Is that a band?
Yes,
it's a Canadian band with this guy who sings super high, right? Sure. Am I making this up? Yeah, that's Rush, I think.
And Rod ruled that he would get something with a nice beat by Drake.
Okay.
And after that, he went on to talk about how much he likes Drake. Then he said maybe he'd go with something by James Brown. And then finally, he wondered why more batters don't use music from Motown. Can you guys solve this puzzle? Why don't batters use music from Motown?
Because it's old and baseball players are young.
You know, if I could chime in on that, I think one of the Tigers minor league guys that would actually possibly use a Motown song to walk up to would be Wynton Bernard. I had the quote-unquote pleasure of listening to him sing a rendition of Ain't Too Proud to Beg during a rain delay in Toledo yesterday, and the video is up on my Twitter, and I ask that everyone take the time to watch and celebrate everything that is Wynton Bernard, because it was an experience for sure.
What's your handle? The people should know.
The people should know. Oh, gosh. It is at We Found Waldo 2, the number 2.
Was 1 not available?
You are correct. So disappointing, but yeah. I survived.
Definitely. Eric, are you surprised that Rod's a Drake guy?
No, I'm not. Because it's, I don't know. I'm not big into the music scene, but Drake strikes me as kind of safe rap music. Am I wrong?
I don't think so.
And Rod would kind of travel in safe territory, I feel like.
That does feel very well put. So that brings us to this week's leadoff question. What would be your walk-up slash warm-up song? Emily, you're the guest. You can go first.
Oh, gosh. I was given this some thought earlier, and I was trying to figure out what would be the best one. Probably the new Justin Timberlake song.
Okay.
The dance one, which I can't think of the title off the top of my head for whatever reason, but very happy song, fits my personality, and I enjoy that one. So that would be my take.
Are you a big JT fan in general or just specifically the song?
I actually am a big JT fan. And that's it's almost kind of like the new summer song, I think. Going to be one of those summer anthems. But yeah, I would definitely say I'm a JT fan.
Yeah, JT's the man. We talked about it a couple months ago at this point, about how if we wanted somebody to remix the national anthem, we both agreed that we would pick JT to be the man for the job.
What? We agreed to that? I don't remember that at all.
No, I think that was more my idea, and I think you thought it was stupid, if I recall correctly.
Just make up the history as you go. That's fine, Hall.
Eric, how about you?
I would pick Peanut Butter Jelly Time by the Buckwheat Boys. Do you know the song? So the Tampa Bay Rays have this great video of a mascot dancing in a banana suit to this particular song. It's Peanut Butter Jelly Time. It's really just funny and random. That's what I would pick. What about you, Hall?
Well, one of my favorite artists is Lupe Fiasco. He's a rapper. So I picked one of his songs, The Show Goes On. But I was thinking more. You know the Waving Flag song from the 2010 World Cup?
Yes, I do.
That was my jam. Yeah, maybe I'd use that.
What was his name? Kaza or Brza or something was the name of that guy.
I don't know
what song you're talking about.
Yeah.
You come by waving flag, to do do. Yeah, I'm down with you.
So if you have an interesting song, you at home, not you too, I just heard yours, have an interesting song, tweet us and we will engage with you on the Twitters. Speaking of the Twitters, you can find me at JordanHall23, Eric is at ComericEric, the show is at Podcastianos, and Emily, once again, you are at...
We found Waldo number two.
Number two. The website is podcastianos.com, and we would love it if you would take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. And Eric, if you or someone else you know, and you all the listeners at home as well, let's try something this week.
Okay.
Think of one person that you know that likes the Tigers. Tell them about the show and how to listen. It could be the greatest gift that you ever can give them.
You know, if you're giving that to somebody as a gift, you're cheap. You're a cheap bastard.
Or you're just resourceful.
If I tweet about it, does that count?
Oh, that counts double. Maybe
even
triple.
I tweeted today, so I earned some brownie points.
So many brownie points. Then if you do tell somebody, tweet the show and tell us who you told to listen, and we'll say, good job, high five.
I probably won't do that. That sounds like work. Jordan, you can do that.
Okay, I will.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannis.
So this past week did not start off great. Playing in Anaheim, it never helps. We never win out there. Monday night, we spoiled another dynamite start from Verlander. And then Tuesday, Anibal Sanchez gave up 6 earned over 3. After the game, he was moved to the bullpen by Ausmus. This always happens the night after we record stuff. Like, the interesting stuff always happens, you know, as soon as we release. Eric, 11 starts, one of them was quality this season for Anibal. Was there a choice?
I guess not. I am totally reversing course from the last podcast where I'm like, oh man, you really can't move him. You really can't do anything. You got to stick with him. But after the total dumpster fire that I witnessed that he pitched, I changed my mind. I did. I totally changed my mind. I was like, you got to do something. Imagine an injury, you know, just skip him a start. Or what they eventually did was send him to the bullpen. And I think you had to. You got to do something different. It wasn't cutting it.
So we haven't used him yet out of the bullpen. Today would have been his scheduled start. So presumably from here on out, would you assume he's usable out of the pen?
Yeah, I would assume so. Brad seemed to indicate he was going to use him in some low leverage situations. If nothing else, give him a break. Let him clear his head. Let him work on a few things and try to restart him, you know?
What are you guys looking for out of him, like, out there? Obviously, like you say, low leverage situations. He's probably going to be the long guy. Are you thinking that this is a guy that can come in and get you out of a jam, or is this somebody you're going to when there's, you know, up five, down five, etc.?
I think that's what it's going to be. It's going to be the up five, down five for a little while until he can show you something. I mean, this isn't a guy, I don't think, who's going to run out of the pen and give you several more miles per hour on his fastball because he's so amped. I think he's got what he's got. I don't foresee some big Wade Davis kind of revival, do you?
No, I don't. I mean, we talked about it last week that Shane Green has more of that stuff than Anibal does. Anibal just seems like he's to the point where anything you can get out of him is better than what we're getting out of him as a starter.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Boyd is at the first, has had the first crack. Emily, is Norris knocking on the door down there at Toledo?
I think he's definitely knocking. I saw him yesterday for a while. Actually, had to avoid getting run over while he was chasing a frisbee. So that was a fun experience. So I could definitely attest to the fact that Norris was there. He is putting up the numbers. I think that will give people the confidence to believe he should at least get another shot. I am personally stoked about Shane Green. I followed all of his minor league rehab starts that he had, and he just got increasingly better. So I think the blister is definitely a thing of the past. He looked sharp today, in my opinion, but I think Norris should see some time here soon.
Yeah, you're talking about Shane Green. Two innings pitched 2 days in a row, which I thought was kind of an interesting tactic from Ausmus. I feel like usually when you're easing guys back into relief, obviously Green has been a starter, you don't run him out there consecutive days. You let him recover because it's not his usual routine. What did you see, guys? What did you guys see velocity-wise? It still looked like he was sitting around 95 today. I kind of thought that his stuff was going to play up a little bit more out of the bullpen.
I was outside, so I just caught up on the game. I actually am a poor podcaster, and I did not watch Tigers baseball today. Maybe, Emily, do you have beautiful comments about this, Emily?
You know, I have limited comments. I did catch part of his appearance, and basically what I saw, I think, was right about that 95 mark. With him, I don't know if maybe there's a little bit of hesitance where he's just really kind of trying to find his groove again at that level. He's never struck me as somebody who really gets mentally shook up. He seems like he's pretty level-headed for the most part, but it could just have been that he said, you know what, I want to find my groove, I want to make sure I can get back into it, and so he may have not tried to put too much smoke on it overall.
Yeah, and that's probably a good idea. I mean, when the start against Pittsburgh, a couple of starts earlier this year, he was a little bit on the wild side. That's not something you want to come in and do is walk a bunch of guys.
Do you think he's going to continue to have blister problems? Is this the thing? Or do you think he just is healed up now? He'd be good to go. Do you know about that? What are blisters like? Who else? Drew Smiley had a vicious blister. Was it 2 years ago? But I don't seem to remember him having problems again with it. Do you?
I don't think it's kind of a chronic thing. I think it can be. Like, if you're, I'm assuming it's how the ball, like, releases from his fingers, like, the very end of the pitch. But yeah, you would imagine if it were something chronic, he would have had, like, that in the past, and it wouldn't just be.
Did you ever have blisters all?
I didn't, but I didn't throw nearly as
I was
going to
say.
So the release on my pitches were not the same as what Shane Green is dealing with.
You weren't ripping the flesh from your fingertips with your velocity?
No, I remember hearing Pedro talk. I want to say it was in the World Series a couple years ago, how, like, he could feel like almost a spark of friction, like when he released the ball every time. And they showed like the callus he had. I think it was on his middle finger. It was just nuts. Yeah, so, you know, maybe Shane Green will develop a callus and I won't have to worry about that again.
Interesting.
So I don't want to spend a long time talking about this, but I do want to mention real quick that yesterday, Saturday, Big Pelf outpitched Chris Sale. You might have heard of him.
Wow. That was a big win. They stole that one, didn't they?
Yeah. Yes and no.
On paper, looking before that game, if you said.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
you know.
Yeah, I thought you meant game flow. I'm like,
No. Before the game, if you would have looked at it and you said, oh, the Tigers are going to win this one, you'd say, oh, heck yeah, that's a good guess.
Even I wouldn't have said that. So we are one third of the way through the year. The third mark is 54 games, and we played game 56 today. So I wanted to run by some pace numbers for you guys. These are, you know, take the numbers of the players and times them by three. That has, you know, what they're on pace for the season. And all stats are from before today's game. So that's that. So let's start at the top. And these are just hitters. I was running through the numbers of the hitters, and I realized there is way too much here. So we're not going to talk pitchers today, just hitters. Are you guys comfortable with that?
Sounds lovely.
It's actually kind of ironic because I feel like we usually focus too much on the pitching and stay away from the hitting. Okay, let's start at the top of the order. Ian, he is on pace for 138 runs this year. He scored 94 all year last year.
Wow. That's a lot.
That is a lot. He's pacing career highs in home runs, RBIs, and runs. I think I saw he's 33. He's off to an incredible start. Is there any reason to think that he can't kind of keep this rolling?
I don't think so. He's just a good athlete. I mean, he's in good shape. He's can do all kinds of things. Now, is he going to regress a little bit? Probably. But, I mean, there's no reason you'd say, oh, he's going to for sure fall off a ton.
Yeah, and he's not one of the big body. You know what I mean?
Like, right, yeah.
He's light on his feet. There's no reason to think that, you know, obviously fluke injuries happen, but he's certainly not an injury risk at this point.
Right.
I think, like you say, I think there's room for regression and still him to still have an incredible season. I mean,
I would agree with you, too, in regards to that, Jordan, that he's got a good flow going, but I think baseball in general is going to give you your hot streaks and then the times where you level off and just kind of start to cruise a little bit. But also agree, he's an incredible athlete. I don't think he gets enough credit for what he does, and it makes it fun to watch him, you know, no matter if he's doing offense or defense. But I think that he's in a position where he could put up some really big numbers and might kind of fizzle a little bit, but I think he'll pick up momentum right where he left off.
Speaking of momentum, Nick Castellanos, you want to hear his pace numbers? I'm going to tell you whether you want to hear him or not. He's on pace for 30 homers, 96 ribs, and he's hitting 316. So I feel like we can extrapolate that as 316. He's kind of given us that production that we assumed that Upton would give us. No?
Yeah. Yeah.
What is the most impressive aspect of the start for you? The power or the average?
Oh, man. They're both really impressive. If you would have said those statistics to me about Nick before the year, I'd say you're insane. I guess I probably would have said he could break out for 30 home runs, but he's going to hit around 265. That's kind of what I guess that would be the less startling of the two, I guess. What do you think?
Yeah, I didn't look up his batting average on balls in play, but I might suggest that he's getting a hair lucky with the batting average. I mean, he's hitting the ball with authority, no doubt. But yeah, I think the power sticks maybe a little bit more than the average. I don't think he's going all the way down to 260, but I wouldn't be surprised if he settled somewhere in like the 280 range.
Right.
Well, and something I found really consistent about him, especially from last year, is that his power has really gone up. Like if you look at his ISO numbers, the thing about the scouting reports that I read up about him when people were first looking at him is that he had so much natural raw power. That was really one of the most appealing things to him. And one of the problems I was told by one of my sources with the team that they felt he may have been overcoached last year.
Can you explain that? Like, what do you mean?
Yeah. As far as offensively, what I was told is they tried to tweak his swing a little. And that was right about the time where he started to dip. I forget what point of the season it was, but when he hit that really, really cold spell during last year, that was right about that same time. And a while past that, he suddenly went, you know what? This isn't me. This isn't the way I hit. I'm going back to what I know. And I think this year we're seeing what the Tigers wanted from him when they first drafted him. They just saw like the power. Yeah. They saw the power. They saw the ability. He's another guy who he's got a good athleticism about him. Not quite as fast, but he has an ability to really bring some much needed power to the lineup. And so I think what we're seeing is the Nick that everyone wanted to see from the get go. And he's just starting to really come into his own because he's young. You know, in the grand scheme of things, he is still very young. I think he's, what, 24, I believe. And so I think he's just kind of hitting his stride, and I have some really high hopes for him.
Yeah, I mean, you see him at the plate. It's a little bit more see ball, hit ball kind of approach, I think. And, yeah, maybe he was overcoached. That's an interesting thing.
Yeah, definitely. I hadn't heard that, but that's really interesting. Okay, let's move on. J.D. Martinez currently sits at 255 with the batting average. Power numbers still, you know, great. Everything's great there. Are you guys a little surprised that the average isn't a little bit higher, especially considering how he uses all parts of the park, as Rod would say, just like Mickey?
I don't know. He does hit for so much power. I guess I am surprised it's that low. But I think it'll gradually tick up. I don't know.
I would agree with that. I think that he is more of a power guy, and he's going to put up those bigger numbers. But I think it's going to see some change as the season progresses. But I would definitely agree with Eric on that.
Yeah, and I think... Go ahead.
Do you think the switch to the two spot in the lineup influenced him at all or not? Do you think it changed his... for better or worse?
I think it can. I mean, there's... When you're in a run-producing situation, you have somebody behind you, like Nick... you know, there's a little bit more pressure, and you know, not to take anything away from Castellanos, but when you have Miggy behind you versus when you have Castellanos behind you, or you know, Upton for when he was there, moving up, I think it frees you up more to get on base. Whereas if you're hitting lower, you got to make sure that you're driving in the runs. I don't know, maybe it's just a different approach at the plate. I guess
I like him moved back down now.
Yeah,
with the way Maben's been playing, I like Maben hitting too. If Maben can keep this up at all, I like JD lower.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Maben in the two spot essentially gives us what we were hoping that Upton was going to give us in the two spot.
Yes, precisely.
That athleticism. And not, I mean, Maben obviously is a little bit more of a base-stealing athletic, whereas Upton is more, they're both, I assume that Upton was a solid base runner. You know what I mean? Like going first to third, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, let's move on to the RBI. We have, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 guys that are on pace for 96 RBIs or more. Yet we're 12th in Major League Baseball in runs scored. How does that work?
That's so, math. I don't like math.
So you're saying we have a lot of guys hitting a lot of RBIs, but we're not... 12, because we're 12th, you're saying we should be higher in runs scored?
Yeah, I would have assumed that, you know, five guys pushing 100 ribs, we're talking,
right,
you know,
so
Blue
we're
Jays
top
territory.
We're top heavy though. I mean, so you got the catcher spot, Iggy, and the center fielder before recently being kind of black hole. So I mean, you needed that kind of production from the top five guys to get even to the 12th ranking.
Yeah, and some black hole in left field. I don't know if you're aware.
Yes,
of that.
Thank you. Yeah. Good call.
Speaking of, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, it just kind of averaged it out. You needed those guys to do it in order to score that, even that amount of runs.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, we're probably going to see an uptick from Upton. We're probably going to see an uptick from the catcher spot. I just think that stat bodes well for, you know, some positive regression for the offense.
For the rest of the team, yeah.
Going back to the black hole in left field, Justin Upton, these are his pace numbers. 9 homers, 36 RBIs, 214 batting average, and 225 strikeouts.
Yeah. That's not already. That's on pace.
Yeah, that would be if the, you know, second and third thirds of the season are like this, that's what he'll be.
They can't be. They won't be.
He has to come around, right?
Yes. I've only been saying this ever since this podcast has been in existence. I've said, Upton is going to be better. Upton is going to hit. What episode are we up to? Like 14 or something like this? I've said this for 14 straight weeks, and it has not happened.
But it has to happen, right?
It has to happen.
Like,
it's got to happen.
There are guys who just don't do it. And even if he, like I cannot wrap my mind around the concept that Justin Upton won't at least be a league average outfielder. Like, it has to happen.
It has to happen.
Part of it comes through, too, that you know his history.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what he's capable of. And so I think we have every reason in the world to trust that he will come around. But it's just, it's mind-blowing. Looking at the strikeouts, it makes no sense.
And Tigers Twitter just keeps, you know, piling on it. And hopefully Justin's not on Twitter, because that's just, it's bad for everyone, really. But, like, I get it. Like, he's been terrible. And you watch him game after game, it's frustrating. But I mean, before you click 140 tweets, oh, Justin Upton's the worst. He's never going to hit. Like, Justin Upton has been in the running for MVP awards. Like, it has to happen.
Let's hope. Should we do some kind of, like, you know, curse removal ceremony, or just do some kind of, you know, sacrifice a virgin or something, you think?
Sure. I mean, I don't see why not.
There's probably no virgins in Traverse City, but I mean, somewhere you can find some.
You know what I think would actually be very effective?
What's that?
They just need to buy him a duck tank top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Solved.
Yeah.
Problem solved. You're welcome.
Yeah, share your freaking tank tops. Let's go.
Come on, Nick.
Yeah, come on. Nick.
Nick's the problem.
Speaking of problems, Jose Iglesias, very divisive character among Tigers Twitter. He's hitting .230 on the year, but in the last week he went 6-for-19, which, I don't know, that's what, pushing .300? My math's not real great. Only 9 extra base hits on the year. Does that concern you a little bit?
I'm not a big concerner of things,
okay.
But I mean, yeah, it should be better, but I don't know. His career average is like 280 something in 500 at bats or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think he'll get better.
Yeah.
That's not a hot take, but I think he'll be better.
We talked on one of the first episodes of the show that we don't really know kind of what Iglesias is. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that we know any better now. Like, when coming in the year, if you would have said Iggy's going to hit .230 first half of the year and .330 second half of the year, I'd be like, yeah, sure, that seems possible.
Maybe. It's
like,
possible.
Like, I feel like there's no outcome that's out of the realm of possibilities with Jose Iglesias. If he hits .400 for the rest of the year, I'd be like, yeah, I could see it.
He's not going to hit for a lot of power, but his average numbers could fluctuate.
Yeah. The one thing that I think is really interesting is he kind of gets a little bit of a free pass just because of how, like, outrageously exciting he is. He has defensive WAR is only 12th best in the major leagues among shortstop. That's like, that's average. That's average. And I love Jose. Like, he's so much fun. But that's average. And he's a 0 overall WAR guy.
I mean, maybe he's an average shortstop.
Yeah.
You know what, for us, maybe that's okay.
Yes, I agree with that. That's a really interesting point, because we have a lot of, I mean, I didn't run the numbers on, and I always say run the numbers like it's some sort of calculation I do. I didn't look up the WAR of everyone else on the team, but we have a lot of really high positive WAR guys. Like, it's okay to have a shortstop that, you know, can produce a miracle at times. And maybe he doesn't, you know, do all of the little things right.
And if any kind of metrics are suspect, it's defensive metrics.
Yeah,
those are the most hard to pin down. So, yeah, it's hard to say. But he looks better than his numbers have said consistently. And, you know, if you put some credence into the numbers, and I do, yeah, he's a more average than what his flair shows.
Yep.
I'm agreeing.
Cool. Finger guns. Okay, one more player before we get to some of the minor league talk. James McCann kind of dealt with some injuries earlier in the year, kind of had a stop and start season, but he's currently hitting .174. He only has 3 extra base hits on the year, and he's hitting .132 against righties, which, as you know, is the majority of major league pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
I did look at his batting average on balls in play stats. Last year, his batting average on balls in play was .325. This year, it's .236. I think there's a pretty decent chance that McCann isn't as good as he was last year, but is significantly better than he is this year. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm agreeing.
Yeah.
So I think you got to platoon the snot out of those guys, right?
Salty's only hitting a .192 against righties himself. So that doesn't really help. But you have to assume that that would correct itself. I didn't look at his career numbers against righties, but I would imagine they're probably a little higher than that.
McCann will get better, a little bit better.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to some of the minor league stuff as I have it in my notes. I'm really excited to hear about this, despite the lack of selling it there. Emily, tell us about Jacoby Jones's return from suspension. As the listeners that have been with us for a while know, I really, you know, smile emoji with heart eyes, Jacoby.
It's honestly, it's really hard. I don't know if I'd use the same analogy, but close. It's really hard to not get excited about Jacoby. When I was over in Erie, I want to say it was about 2 weeks now, watching him play in person for the first time, you sit there and go, why did Pittsburgh let this kid go? Like, that was the first question that I had. Why did they let him go? He was part of the Soria deal from way back when, and he really is a complete package. I mean, he's got the speed, he's got the power, he's got the instincts, he's got basically the blueprint of what a team looks for, and getting to see that in person for the first time was really exciting.
Yeah, I saw him down in Lakeland, and I'm 6'3", like I'm a big dude, and he walks up to me, I'm like, dang, Jacoby Jones is a big dude. He has that, like, I don't know, I feel like they always talk about it with Darren McFadden, like, you look at him and you think, that guy's a football player. Like, when I look at Jacoby Jones, I think, man, he can play some baseball.
I would definitely agree that he's got the physique for it. The cool thing that I really noticed when I was watching him play is that you can always see the wheels turning, whether he's at the plate or whether he's in the field. And the two games that I caught, he did play center field for both of those, but he's actually been making, I would say in the last couple of days, he's been making a lot of infield starts, specifically at third base. And so I think the Tigers right now are kind of trying to feel him out a little bit and just see, okay, where can he be utilized the best, and where can he make the most impact overall?
Where does he come, like, at what point in his development do you think he's at? I'm trying to, like, you say that, and that immediately makes me think replacement for Romine or Avilas. Like, is he ready to come up and more or less contribute, but maybe in a way that would stunt his development? Like, is he that close?
I don't think he's that close. I think he's on the fast track. I think that the Tigers have their eye on him very, very closely. I know there was a couple front office guys in Erie when I was there, watched them sitting near me and overheard some conversation. What I've been told, I talked to Parrish about it. Excuse me. Talked to Parrish about it a little bit. I know Alan Trammell mentioned this as well. They're all seeming to like him the best in center field. They all mentioned it. I actually asked Jacoby after one of the games that I went to, I said, do you enjoy it out in center field? He got a big old grin on his face, and he said, I really like being able to be out there because he can use his speed. He gets really, really good jumps on the ball, and I think it gives him a chance to show really what he's capable of doing.
That's interesting. Because he obviously has the power and he has some speed. Are we looking at a future leadoff man, or is this more of a heart of the order kind of bat?
I would say probably more heart of the order. I think he's a guy that you'd want to bring up with the hopes of having a few guys on when he does come up. I was actually looking at some of his numbers today. He's pushing 300 ISO, so that tells you about his power right there. He's been punching doubles left and right. He's up to, I want to say, not quite 20 games yet, but it might be close to that now. He's got 20 RBIs. He's got a 977 OPS. Wow. So that tells you something there, too. 589 slugging. He hasn't really come to a point where people are going, oh, I don't know about this guy. He's given everybody everything that they need to see in him to say he's definitely got something going. But I think because of the suspension, because he had a late start in the year, I think they want to give him some more games under his belt before they really decide what move to make.
What do you make of that suspension? Is that a big deal? Is that a character thing, or is that a nothing?
I personally was proud of the league for holding on to their policy. I know in the past it's been frowned upon because, you know, this player, that player got a slap on the wrist, and people said, well, they should have gotten more than that. To me, the league is being consistent and not playing favorites. And I think that that sends a message that, hey, if you're going to commit to playing this game, we're going to have you deal with the consequences if that's the choice you make. He completely owned up to it. He said, you know, I made a bad decision. It's not going to happen again. And he is completely focused on playing. You could tell by the way he interacted. The guys on the team have mentioned that they're really enjoying having him there. And he's just got, he's got a ridiculous work ethic. He comes out to play. He knows the importance of the opportunity he's been given. And I think he's really locked in right now.
Maybe we'll end all of the player discussions. When do you think we will first see him, and when do you think in Detroit, and when do you think he's going to stick in Detroit?
That's really going to have a part to do with the logjam that's currently in Toledo right now.
Okay.
It's there's some very interesting lack of position players in certain areas, and then there's almost like a clogging up of other people, to where they're kind of having to figure out where to put who to move, who to not move. It's kind of a mess right now. I've talked to people in Erie and Toledo both, and what I think the Tigers are trying to do is figure out who's making the most impact in what positions. And then I think once they get those pieces put together, I think he's going to jump up to AAA pretty quickly. I wouldn't be surprised if they move him up this year. As far as the Tigers, I'm going to say 2017, okay, but something could shift at the end of the year. He may be a September call-up. It's hard to say at this point, depending on how the Tigers do, but my prediction is going to be 2017 for Detroit.
Gotcha. See, this is the thing that I've been curious about since spring training, is if Maben, you know, knock on wood, it doesn't happen, but if Maben goes down again at this point, is he the guy that gets the call? And I think that's really intriguing. Let's move on. Christian Stewart is having himself a nice year down in Lakeland. All kinds of power. Everyone knows about the power. But is he a complete hitter?
You know, I would say that he is. I think he's got the bat speed. I think he's got just this ridiculous power. I mean, it was something that really stood out when he was at Tennessee. He put up really impressive numbers at Tennessee. Offensively, he's got the total package. Defensively, I think is another story. And so I think it's going to come down to the fact if the team sees him valuable enough offensively to move him. Defensively, I think he's still got a lot of work to do.
Well, to be fair, I mean, he's still a couple years out, correct?
I would say so.
Victor, I mean, he's not going to be around forever. The DH spot will open up. Do you see him sticking in the outfield, or is it maybe a move to first base kind of situation?
You know, I would say that he would probably have to shift if he were going to want to move up to the higher levels, just because his arm is not that strong.
Okay.
He doesn't have a terrible arm, but he lacks a little bit in arm strength, isn't very fast, and so chasing down fly balls, I think, is a little bit more of a challenge. So it very well could be something where they do shift him in, but then looking at the Tigers infield right now, it comes down to where would they put him? I know as long as Mickey has breath in his lungs, he's not going anywhere. So that's something where it just comes down to, do we shift him around? They're doing that right now with Dominic Ficicello, who was an infielder for a very long time. They've been trying him out multiple times in left field with Erie this year. So that's something I think where they're testing it out and saying, where can we put you? You're valuable to us, but where are you going to be able to play and actually get some real playing time?
Yeah, makes sense. How I feel like the inevitable comparison with him is Steven Moya. Is he going to have this massive truther following like Moya has, that regardless of what the numbers say, you know, he has his backers who can't hear anything else?
I would say so, because you have those loyalists that, you know, two games into the season, you have a guy who hits a home run and someone will shout from the rooftops, why is he not in Detroit? You know, and they don't look at any of the rest of his numbers. But I think that's just baseball in general. I think you have the zealots that are always giving their two cents, even when it's not required. So he's definitely one who's he's garnered a following very quickly because of the numbers he's put up. Was really sharp in West Michigan last year. I got to watch him play about half the year in West Michigan. Just a really, really focused guy, a really level-headed guy. He understands the game. I would love to see him succeed, but I think defensively is probably going to be the biggest area where he'll need some work.
Eric, are you going to the Truth or meetings yet?
Oh, always Kristen Stewart. He's awesome in Twilight. Kristen forever.
Okay, let's move on. Joe Jimenez, guy who's made a lot of headlines recently. I was texting with Jim Price. He wants to hear about his arsenal.
Oh, Joe. Joe is at, right now, I'm going to try and quote my math off the top of my head here. I want to say he has surpassed, just this year, 20 scoreless innings consecutively. Adding last year, I want to say he's pushing 25, 26 consecutive. So that is something that is definitely going to grab attention. I mean, he was already getting a lot of buzz last year before he even got to West Michigan. Worked through West Michigan. He's ridiculous. I mean, getting to watch him, I was in Erie, got to see his AA debut. There was no difference in the way he approached it. He's got really a very mature head on his shoulders for being just 21. I mean, he's a young kid, but he walks out there, and I talked to him after the game a little bit, and he said, you know what? I know what I'm supposed to do. He said, I know what I'm supposed to do, and he said, I understand what this league is going to be like, and he said, I'm just here to do my job.
So he's cut from the Rondon cloth, I hear.
I'm hoping in a more positive way.
Yeah, that's definitely sarcasm. Is he a guy we could be looking at as a September call-up?
I would not be surprised. I will say that right now. I will not be surprised because, I mean, he's pushing consistently. I would say his fastball averages anywhere from 95, 96. I saw him hit 98, I think, once in the area. I saw him at 100 once or twice last year in West Michigan. He's got a ridiculous arm. And the nice thing about it, though, is when I talked to him in Erie, he is really working to develop his secondary. He said he's really, really pleased with his slider. He's been working on his slider a lot lately, trying to really get more of a variety of pitches to mix up. Because when you've got a 98-mile-an-hour fastball and then you change it up with, 74-mile-an-hour offering, you're going to keep guys really off balance. And so him having that understanding of what's expected, I think he will definitely be looked at as a possibility for September.
Yeah, absolutely. Who are some other names that we should have on our radar in the Tigers minor league system?
I would say right now, infield-wise, Will Maddox. He's definitely one at the top of my list. I was just kind of reading over some stuff of his today, and he had an 11-game hit streak that was broken yesterday, I believe. West Michigan dropped, I want to say, one or two games in their road series, and then he hit again today. So he's actually hit in 12 of his last 13 games consistently. He's not a power hitter. He's not somebody that you're going to see hit a lot of home runs, but he really is good at finding the holes in the field, drives the ball really, really well. And he's a little bit older. I want to say he's about 23, but he missed most of last year with a broken foot. So he's coming into the year now saying, okay, I've got some time to make up and I really have to pick up speed. And he's been doing that and doing it really, really well. So he's definitely one for sure.
One more question before we move on to Eric's power rankings. This comes from listener Jacob. And Jacob, I will pronounce your last name incorrectly, Skoronek, maybe? He wants to know, is Derek Hill Anthony Gose? And maybe give a player comp for Derek Hill.
Oh, Derek Hill. Derek is somebody that we watched last year. I know Eric can probably attest to this a little bit, too. We just all really wanted to see Derek healthy. Because you really can't get a full understanding of what a player can do when you only get to see him play a quarter of the season. And last year was really kind of a taste of that. This year, he has been more active. I want to say he's been on the DL once this year. He is somebody that I am still personally waiting to be sold on. He really is, he's ridiculously fast. He has speed working for him. He's got a very good arm. from the outfield. But as far as his build goes and as far as his numbers, I have to say I'm not personally sold on seeing him fly forward at a really quick pace. I think there's definitely potential there, but it's something where I'm still kind of waiting to see really those big numbers come into play to where I can say, yeah, he's going to move ahead. But as of right now, still a little bit, little on the fence with that one.
I'll be more bold. I don't think he's very good, and I don't think he will be. Okay. I mean, you have to be diplomatic, but I don't. And I just never saw it with Hill. Like, he's maybe – he's going to be a three-tool player. I mean, he's – I don't know. Maybe he's going to fill into his body and learn how to hit. But until then, I'm not sold on Derek Hill.
Yeah.
I would say that is another thing, too, because he's over 6 foot, I believe. I want to say he's 6'1", 6'2". He is thin. He doesn't have a lot of meat on him, and I think that's going to play into part of it. His power really isn't there. He will drive a lot of bloop singles, and he'll turn them into doubles or triples because of how fast he is. But as far as really, really driving the ball with a lot of power behind it, I don't think we're going to expect a lot of that from him.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Eric, are you ready to go to your power rankings?
Oh, I am so ready. I've been waiting just to unleash power rankings on you people. We have choices, as always, about power rankings. We have still here, ready to go, models of minivan. You know, just different types of minivan. Minivans are, you know, the double sliding doors, you know, that kind of thing. You know what a minivan
is. We're familiar with minivans, yes.
Yeah. Or we have characters on Mario Kart Wii. So you're firing up your Wii, you got the little plastic steering wheel, and now it's time to choose your character. So this is characters on Mario Kart.
Emily, you're the guest. I think you should get to choose.
You know, I think we should go with the Mario Kart.
There you have it. Mario Kart, it is. Of course, this is the top seven and bottom three Mario Kart Wii characters. Starting at number seven is Mario. Now, Mario is, he's a medium-sized character. He's kind of bland. It is called Mario Kart. It's his thing. But he's solid. I prefer the medium-sized characters, not the real heavy or the lights. I prefer the heavy to the lights, but Mario is a fine choice if you want to be a square. All right, you can pick Mario. Number six is Peach. Peach. You know, a lot of guys choose female characters in their gaming, you know, so... You know, this isn't quite as nice to look at as Tomb Raider or something like that. But, you know, it's Peach.
Are they doing it and, to be, like, ironic? Is that what...
No, I mean, if you're going to, like, I'm not a gamer, so I don't know. But I hear the theory is, like, if you're going to stare at the back end of a character for, you know, 8 hours a day, you might as well have it be, you know, a nice female character.
That feels weird. I'm not going to lie.
No? You're not buying that?
I'm uncomfortable with that.
All right, it's Peach.
I definitely buy that. It makes me uncomfortable. Go ahead with the Peach.
Okay, Peach, and when she jumps, like her dress like flips up, and that's kind of interesting. I don't know.
I've always been a fan of Peach. I tend to use her whenever I play. So
she seems like kind of a. She could be more assertive. I feel like Peach is kind of a, you know, come rescue me, you know, kind of shy, bashful. I can't take care of myself, you know. She's not a strong, independent woman who don't need no man. She needs a man. And that's not healthy. That's Peach. That's six. Number five is Waluigi. Waluigi is angry and skinny and just yells. This is the Chris Sale of Mario Kart, is Waluigi. He's number five. I like him just because he's so lanky. He's got limbs going everywhere when he jumps. It's all right. Number four is Baby Peach. Baby Peach is the only small character to make the top seven. And it's just funny because Baby Peach is adorable and just kind of ridiculous. She jumps over a thing. She's like, Baby Peach! Makes that sound. I like playing Baby Peach sometimes. Number three is Luigi. Luigi is higher than Mario because he's not Mario. And Mario's bland and boring. Luigi's a medium-sized character, which I prefer. Prefer to go with medium in the classic dragster. Okay, for my Mario Kart Wii-ing. He's kind of the underdog. You know, the big brother gets all the attention. You know, also in the new versions, Luigi kind of gives these, like, passive-aggressive looks, which I like. I like silent anger.
Before we move on, which of the Romine brothers is Mario and which is Luigi?
Well, I would probably say Austin is slightly more pudgy, and he's the catcher. He's got to be Mario. That would make Andrew Luigi.
All right. And yeah. Both have mustaches. That's how you know it's a good analogy.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's a solid analogy. Okay, where are we? Number two is Bowser. I like being Bowser. He just growls. He's angry. He's evil and spiky. He's got these big spikes. He likes like, just chomping on things. I like to see that when I'm driving around. You know, you can't swerve and like take out the next SUV next to you when you're going to Meijer to get some milk. But when you're playing Mario Kart, if you want to drop a red shell on somebody's ass, I want Bowser to be doing that. Okay?
Okay.
Continuing in that theme, number one, the best character in Mario Kart Wii is Wario. I love Wario because he's like pudgy and angry and he goes, I'm a Wario. I'm going to win. And, you know, he's kind of a fat slob and you don't think he's going to do good, but he always does. He's the Bartolo Colon of Mario Kart Wii. I love Wario. He's number one.
Boom. So okay. Do all of these guys have, like, ethnically stereotypical Italian accents?
Yeah, I mean, if they're not, like, dinosaurs or mushrooms or something, yeah.
Fair enough, because the dinosaurs and mushrooms can't be Italian, for sure.
I guess not. I don't know. Like, Yoshi is... I don't know what these people are. They're fictional characters, Hall. Don't think too much about it. All right. The worst one, starting third from the worst, is Donkey Kong. Donkey Kong makes these horrible noises. He's like, rawr. It's not even like a gorilla noise. Like, get your life together, Nintendo, and give them some good gorilla noises or whatever. Donkey Kong's horrible. Number two from the worst is Toad. Toad is a whiny bitch. I ain't gonna just say it. This is a mushroom. He's just like tooling around. He's like, wee! He's like whining all the time. Don't be Toad. All right. Number one, the very worst Mario Kart Wii character is King Boo. King Boo is horrible. King Boo is just like this white sphere with a crown. You're not even trying to make a good character. And it makes horrible, like, squawking noises when you stop it, Nintendo. King Boo is the worst.
Is it supposed to be a ghost?
Yeah. It's trash.
It sounds like straight trash.
Trash ghost. That's
hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
All right, let's move on to next week. This week was okay. Next week, it's going to be... I don't know if it's going to be a good week or a bad week, but it should be an entertaining week. Monday through Wednesday, we host the Blue Jays, who are good. Monday, it's Fulmer against Jay Happ. Tuesday, Matt Boyd against Aaron Sanchez. And then Wednesday, our boy Jay Swim, against R.A. Dickey. And I'm trying to decide if we're going to mash R.A. Dickey because he's a knuckleballer, or if we're going to have no luck against him whatsoever because he's, you know, a slop thrower. He's not.
How's he been? I haven't heard about him much lately.
4.21 ERA. That's what I have written down.
Still chucking those knuckleballs, huh?
Yeah, it's like heat knuckleballs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. And then the weekend series.
Dude, Dickie got the booty, Dickie do.
What?
Sorry. I like Dickie. I like seeing knuckleballers.
Yeah, Steve Sparks.
Yeah,
he was an Eric Wayne favorite for sure, right?
Oh yeah, of course. Absolutely. Hey, who's the guy for the Red Sox who's throwing a knuckleball? That's nasty. Wright? Is it Wright?
Yeah, Stephen Wright.
Have you seen any of his starts or watched him pitch at all? I just saw some GIFs in it. It's just nasty.
I've actually seen him live and came away like wildly unimpressed. And then he goes out and does this. So I know little.
Was he a conventional pitcher for a long time? And
that I don't know. I could text him after the show and find out. But
thanks, Paul.
Let's see. Where...
Okay, so we got the Blue Jays, and then who after the Blue Jays?
Going to the stadium to face the Yanks. Big Pelf against CeCe, who beat... it's a rematch from the April. this is the second start, or the second series of the year. CeCe out-dueled Big Pelf. Then Verlander and Tanaka on Saturday, and Fulmer against Michael Pineda on Sunday, who beat Boyd just this past Thursday. Okay, so this is the time of the week that we each pick what the record will be. Emily, you are our guest, so you can go first.
Oh, gosh, that is a lot of pressure. You're saying the record for...
How many games is there, 7 games or 6 games?
Just 6 this week.
6 games.
6 games. I'm going to say 4-2.
Okay, Eric?
We're going to win all 6.
Really?
All 6 of these games. Yes. The Blue Jays do not frighten me at all. And the Yankees, yeah, we're going to win all 6 of these games.
All right. I will go. I'm going 4-2 also. The Boyd versus Aaron Sanchez matchup, like that's a tough one. But in each of the other 5, you look at that and you think, we got the edge in the starting pitching. Like Fulmer?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm maybe a little bit more tilted towards Big Pelf than most, but. I can see him taking down CeCe in the rematch. It's like a heavyweight fight rematch. Verlander, the way him and Fulmer are pitching, absolutely. Any hitters that you guys are specifically excited to watch play this week?
I just want to see Bautista get punched. Maybe some of our guys will punch Bautista. That'd be good.
Who would you like to see punch Bautista? I feel like there's one real obvious answer here.
The most likely would be Kinsler, yeah, but... Sure.
Kinsler. I would definitely say Kinsler, because I've always said if I was ever at a bar where a fight broke out, I would pray that I had Kinsler with me, because yeah. He would just kick butt, and I would feel very safe.
Yeah. Too bad Moya's gone. He was enormous. Who's the biggest player on our team left? Just need somebody huge.
Mabin's really big.
Is he?
Yeah. In cleats, he's really tall.
Yeah, maybe he seems like more of a pacifist.
That's true. Yeah,
I want to fight a.
Yeah, Maven always seems super smiley. Like he seems like a real cool dude. Oh, Emily, I forgot before we end the show, we have to talk about Verly and Ninja Purtle on the hill.
And what a beautiful day it was in Lakeland that day.
Gosh, of all the games to have been at, like for all of the minor league season anywhere, that would have been the one to have been at. Sure.
That was one of, and the funny thing was, too, there was actually a really, really unusual game that was going on in Toledo that same day. And the funny thing about it is Jordani, I always butcher his name, Valdespin, who is with Toledo right now, he hit the game-tying grand slam, I believe, in the 9th. This game went 13 innings. He tied it up in the 9th with a grand slam and actually had to come in to pitch in, like, the 12th, maybe, and had a balk called on him by the umpire, to which Lloyd McClendon went out and had a few colorful things to say to the umpire, reminding him, this guy isn't even a pitcher. You can't call a balk on him. So it was one of those nights, but the nice thing about it was... Verlander didn't give up any runs, and neither did Purtle. So it was a beautiful day, and I'm sure they both got a good laugh out of it in the end.
If you want to get in touch with the show, you can at podcastianos.com. Emily, where can we find your work?
Right now, I'm currently writing for a website called 2080 Baseball. So that's the number 2080 Baseball. I'm doing player evaluation, shooting photography, and I also have a couple other projects in the works. So stay tuned for some more fun things coming up.
And we can follow you at?
We found Waldo 2, as in the number 2, That'll do it.
That'll do it. I am at Jordan Hall 23. Eric is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. You can subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes. That would be lovely. Anything else to say to the listeners before we head out for the week?
I would say there's just some fun stuff coming up in the world of minor league ball, so definitely stay tuned. Should see some fun things happen this week.
Eric?
I love all of you listeners. Thanks for listening.
Oh, that's so nice.
That's all. I have affection for each of you.
We love you too, Eric.
Oh, I feel like we had a moment.
With that being said, eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up, and we will catch you guys later.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.